You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Turn holiday travel from stressful to rewarding. Rakuten helps you save big on travel. They give you cash back when you book with sites like Expedia, Best Western, and Hertz. Even better, you can stack cash back on top of other rewards, like airline miles, credit card points, and hotel loyalty programs. Rakuten partners with over 3,700 stores, including Away Luggage, Ray-Ban, and Macy's, so you can be prepared with all the travel essentials and, of course, cute fits for your trip. Keep the rewards going with cash back on holiday gifts for friends and family. With Rakuten, you'll never miss out on savings at your favorite stores. The stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Join for free and start your shopping at Rakuten.com or use the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
Hi, I'm Steven.
And I'm Brett.
And we are
the Broadway Husbands. We're just your all-American married couple making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family.
On the Broadway Husbands podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances. We are living proof that you can love who you love
and love what you do.
Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever platform you listen to us on. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
Yes. And also, don't forget to check out the Broadway Podcast Network, which we are proud to be members of. All right, this is episode 21.
We are officially legal to drink in the podcast world. Wow.
And we're really excited to have a couple that I am obsessed with for years now and have been wanting to get on our podcast for forever. Chris Rice and Clay Thompson. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Yay, thanks for having us.
It's always more interesting to hear our guests tell people what they do and who they are. So if you don't know Chris Rice and you don't know Clay Thompson, would you guys tell us a little bit about your experience as performers and your history working on Broadway?
Absolutely. So I'm Clay. I grew up in upstate New York. I did the national tour of Oliver when I was 12. Then I went to Penn State University for musical theater for my freshman year. Summer after my freshman year, I booked the national tour of West Side Story, where I met my beautiful husband. Then after that tour closed, we both moved to New York. I did Newsies on Broadway, and then I did Matilda on Broadway, and then I did a couple shows at Encores, and then I went back to Newsies, and then I went back to Matilda, and then I did the national tour of Wicked for a little bit, and then I did King Kong on Broadway. And then the national tour of Jesus Christ Superstar is my latest adventure.
Yes. And Chris.
He's crushing it.
killing it.
Always killing it. I'm Chris. I met Clay, as you said, on the Broadway first national tour of the musical West Side Story. And I played Baby John and covered Tony. And that was a fun time on the road. As soon as we got back to New York, I left right away to tour with White Christmas for a holiday season. And then shortly after that, I joined the Broadway company Book of Mormon, where I was there for like 4.5 years. So it was a lot of ringing of doorbells. And then after that, I took a little break and then worked on Pretty Woman, the musical on Broadway, before joining the national tour, one of the national tours of Hamilton, which is where I'm currently, or most recently, have been working.
Right.
Well, and I think what's really fun, you guys, what I found really inspiring is your ability to build an online presence. I mean, you create content, you're so good at it. Your Tappy videos are amazing. I mean, all the stuff you guys do. And I think that that's something you should never leave out of your bio when you're talking about it, because it's super impressive. Yeah. It's not easy to make content.
Yeah, it's challenging at times, and it's definitely intimidating. I think we as artists often feel like we have to be perfect, and especially when we're recording something. Because when it's live, you get a lot of rehearsal usually, or you have a lot of prep work before an audition. But then when it's live, it's live, and what happens, happens. But when it's on video, there's a lot of people have like a fear of being documented in a weird way. So kind of breaking through that fear and then also allowing myself to have control over some part of my creative life has been fulfilling in such unique and wonderful ways. And it's been great to do a lot of those with Clay, too. We've got to experience them together.
What is, yeah. So you just got married, what, November?
November, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember because I just joined Wicked and Steven had.
Congrats Carrasco. On that PS. Yeah.
Thank you. But Steven Carrasco had, you know, I just joined and he's like, I'm going to Chris and Clay's wedding.
Yes.
And Steven had, you asked the question you had about married life.
About married life. Okay. So I feel like we skipped ahead a bunch,
okay,
but
that's my fault.
But we can go there already. So
go back later. It'll be fine.
Let's go back then a little bit. So when did you, you guys first met on the national tour of West Side Story, and who went up to who? I think I've actually heard this story maybe like on one of your social medias, or I read an article about it, but I'm curious. Can you tell us who went up to who is like crushing or hitting on, or how did it go down?
Yes. So
go for it.
I mean, so our company manager, before we even started rehearsal, our company manager emailed us and was like, if you want roommates on the road, you save money because you get to like split the per diem or like split the hotel room cost. So I messaged Chris and one of the other guys that was joining, and I was like, do you guys want to be roommates? Having never met these two people. But
he
like,
asked us individually. He was like, Chris, do you want to be my roommate? We can save money.
And he was like, let's wait until rehearsal so that I can know that you're not a crazy person. Or maybe you are, which I am. It was like a Facebook message, and we didn't really like keep in contact at all until rehearsal started. And then
our director, David Saint, was really adamant about us, I don't know, sitting in order of like the hierarchy of the gang in rehearsal. So it'd be like Tony to Riff down to the bottom, where Baby John's at the, you know, he's the youngest one of the group. And A-Rab was right above him, who was playing. And at one point he saw us like not really socializing a lot on our breaks in rehearsal. And he was very adamant. Was, you guys need to hang out. You guys need to be best friends. Your chemistry has to be so strong on stage. I think he was maybe playing matchmaker because it worked. I was not out, and I was very much in the closet with lots of bolts in that closet door. But Clay came banging on through, and we were roommates, actually. So I finally said, yeah, let's be roommates. And I first realized I kind of had a crush on him whenever we were always standing next to each other in our ballet bar warm-up before dance rehearsals. And then one day he stood somewhere else, and I was like,
huh. Because I thought it was just like in music rehearsal, was really like when we were like staging the different scenes, and in music rehearsal was really when David was like, you have to sit in this, like in these row of chairs, it has to be the jet hierarchy. And so I didn't know it was like in ballet bar, but he was like, why is he not sitting next to me in ballet bar? And
that's
so
when the feelings began.
Was it because of what he was wearing or like,
duh.
or not wearing? No.
Yeah. All the above. And we were roommates in our put-in city, and then in our debut city, like, give us 3 days. Well, actually, the funny story is we got to Dallas, Texas for our opening, and they had made a mistake, and there was only one bed. And, like, you couldn't write this if you tried, right? So we called down. The hotel was sold out, and so were all, like, the hotels in the area due to some big conference. So we're like, we'll be fine. We'll set up, like, a pillow wall. That pillow wall got knocked down a few nights later.
I'm sure. Oh, boy. Yeah. A lot of sleepless nights in that city.
Thank you, Dallas, Texas. But yeah, that's how it all happened. And now, yeah. 8.5 years later, here we are.
What is, I'm curious, just because we get this question a lot, what is like the toughest thing about having a partner who's in show business?
Honestly, we've gotten that question a lot too. And I think, of course, there are ups and downs to every, you know, relationship, and there's complicated issues for people, but I really don't think it's been an issue really at all for us that we're both in the same business, which is a huge blessing. Some people ask if it gets competitive because we're both, you know, men, and we both dance, and we both are around the same age and all that. So, but overall, there's only been a few, we've fully been in for the same part in the same show before. We've fully been in down to the final four for a Broadway show and the finals for a national tour for the same track, or for, you know, for the same ensemble parts, and then lost out to the other person. So like that's fully happened multiple times. And there have been moments when it's been tough, because personally, you can really want a job, and you can also be really happy for, you know, the person you're with. And sometimes there was one time we were both up for a show and we were both really ready to move on to the next project in our career. And I found out I did not get it about 2 minutes before Clay got the call that he did. And I told him, I was like, I'm so thrilled for you. I just need 10 minutes for like me to process my sadness and like my having to let go of this idea of what I wanted for myself and my career. Because I am happy for you and I don't want you to think that my sadness has anything to do with, you know, my support for you. So that was probably the toughest one. And but otherwise, it's been...
But one of us books it, that paycheck still comes home. So like, you know what I mean?
It's right. Yes. Hello.
So in the end, it's all good.
Yeah.
I guess like moving now we can move to the future, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Now we can move to the future. Okay, but good. Like, I really wanted to know that story. I feel like, I don't know where I read it, but like,
it's a good story.
No. Wait, is there something that you guys, I'm like, didn't you say like there was something to do with like working out? Like you guys helped each other work out. Am I like making this story up? Is there something like that?
Yeah. I mean, the guy that set the choreo told us like, there was one guy in the cast that he was like, you need to lose 10 pounds by this certain date. You need to, he told me that I needed to gain 10 pounds of muscle.
I think he said 15 even.
15.
It was October.
Crazy. That's Joey Meaney.
He said, Joey.
This is in October and Christmas, this is by Christmas. So like realistic, not really, but.
But who did it? Clay did it.
But I had never gone to the gym before that. So then when I started to go to the gym with Chris, he was like jacked.
Right.
Like much more at the time than I am now.
So I was like doing all the exercises he was doing. And I was like, well, I need to gain muscle. So I was like doing crazy heavy weights.
And protein shakes. I was like,
oh, the worst.
I showed him the ropes, but he got there by Christmas. He was.
Got it. I knew there was some story. So that was like a real bonding experience for you guys.
Yeah,
I feel like I'd heard that story before. I love that.
Yeah.
So moving into the future. Yeah. So now that you're married, the question could be, what has changed for you as a couple, if anything, and what have you learned about each other since you've been married before the quarantine? What have you learned about each other since you've been married, but before the quarantine?
I mean, it was kind of crazy. Right after we got married, we were in New York for maybe 2 weeks. We went on a honeymoon for 2 weeks.
Aulani, and, right?
Yeah, well, we did Hawaii. So we started at Aulani, and then we went to Maui and then Kauai.
So jealous.
Oh, it was beautiful. Yeah. It was nice. So beautiful. So we went on a honeymoon for 2 weeks. We went to New York. We went home for like 2 weeks, and then we did a gig, one of Chris's Tappy videos. He did like a live version of in December.
So we were gone 2 weeks later, and then...
And then he booked Hamilton and was gone January 1st, and then I booked Jesus Christ Superstar. I was gone January 8th. So really, we didn't think we were going to get to spend... I mean, after he was on the road, we were like, okay, well, we're not going to get to spend a lot of this year together, because if I'm going to be in New York trying to book the next gig, I can't be just like your tour wife for a little bit. And then I got Jesus Christ Superstar and we were on completely different tours. Oh, but thankfully we had the same day off, which was nice if we could see each other. But I mean, yeah, it's crazy as this quarantine is, and as much as I wish it wasn't happening at all, it is nice that we didn't think we were going to get to spend a lot of this year together. Mm-hmm.
And now we're locked in a room together for 7 weeks so far.
Where are you, by the way?
Yeah, where are you guys?
Currently Toronto. That's where Hamilton was playing. And then I had already paid like rent up front for the whole like 14 weeks. And we got canceled on like week two or whatever. So, but we're going to head back to the States in a couple weeks, whenever this leaves up. But to answer your question, I feel like regarding what has changed, what hasn't changed, overall, like day-to-day life, like our communication, nothing really changed within our relationship in that way. I think it's been really fun for us to like feel whatever, like the bond of saying we're married and feeling that, like, I don't know, it was such a bonding experience, even mm-hmm. though we've been together for so long and we've practically been married for the whole time we've been together. To make it official is really fun, and we can start looking towards the future and talking about what we want. Now that we're a family unit, what do we want to do together? What do we want to accomplish? Starting a family, all those things are now things we feel like we can talk about with, I don't know, more certainty and I guess, yeah.
For a little bit, it was like, I mean, not for a little bit, for about a year and a half, we got engaged around 6.5 years in, and then we didn't get married until our 8-year anniversary. So we took a year and a half to be like planning the wedding. And it was a lot of like, okay, so once we're married, we can do X, Y, and Z. So that was like not putting it off, putting the future off, but it was
a lot other of things like to focus
the
on,
wedding
yeah.
first. Yeah. But yeah, now that we're married, we can like chat about all the other fun things.
And were you, this is kind of a weird question, but were you, like, was it weird for you to use the word husband at first?
I think, yeah.
Well, how is that transition for you guys?
That was always weird for us.
For a long time, I was like, I don't know. And now I'm always like, this is my husband. And it feels totally natural and normal. But
there's so much wedding footage from our wedding where you see us say husband and like get excited to say it. I think it was interesting, like, just coming, I came from a really conservative family, which is why it took me so long to, address my feelings and stuff. But towards a man, my feeling, those types of feelings. but I think even saying fiance was interesting because I would be back with my family in Oklahoma and with my parents' friends, and like, oh, fiance, what does she do? And I was like, it's actually a he. And then I would see their reactions, which weren't always pleasant. And people's poker faces really need some work. You know, as actors, mm-hmm. we can usually put a poker face on, but. Anyway, it was kind of nice that people couldn't mistake fiance for like a woman. When if I say husband, they mean like they get it, you know, it's a man, like deal with it, you know. Mm-hmm. I kind of came into my own and I was ready to call my husband when it was time, you know.
Yeah,
I love that. I need to... Well, so you guys have like we have something in common. We're Disney obsessed.
Yes.
And y'all go, how often do you think you go to the parks on the average?
Well, usually at least twice a year. We usually go on Halloween for his birthday. Clay's birthday is on Halloween.
So we usually do the not-so-scary party.
Of course. Yeah.
Yes. And usually once in the spring. But last year?
I mean, I spent a week there during the summer teaching.
Nice.
We went with our wedding party like a couple days before our wedding.
Which was amazing.
We honeymooned at a Disney resort. We
also went to, we went on a Disney cruise with our friend who was working on the cruise ship and went to Disney World after that. I think we went to Disney like 6 times last year.
I ran a marathon.
Kind of an accident. Yeah, you ran a marathon.
I ran a marathon like 2 months ago.
Oh, that's
or a
right,
half marathon in Disney. Like we go not too often, but like very often.
Last year was like borderline too often for other people. Like we had fun, but other people probably thought we were crazy. So you're approaching that craziness border last year.
We've definitely done that. Like I think the most I did was 5 times in a year.
Yeah, it was around 4 or something like that. Yeah, but you're definitely not crazy to us. That sounds like something we would love
like
to do with you.
What's your like, you have like, when you go, you have to stay at this resort. Like, do you have certain plans that you do every time?
I mean, usually our like go-to parks, if we can only do like 1 or 2 parks, it's usually Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
But sometimes we stay with friends. So I don't know. I can't really recommend a resort because
we haven't stayed at many of the resorts. We would like to, but they're so pricey.
It's so expensive. Yes. I know. You can't go 6 times and pay for those resorts.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
No. We have like go-to snacks and go-to shows we want to hit up and things like that. So
yeah.
Always Fantasmic, always the fireworks.
We always love LeFou's Brew at Gaston's Tavern in New Fantasyland. So good. It's like frozen apple juice with like mango or something. It's so good.
Delicious.
Highly recommend.
What else? The corn dogs at Casey's Corner. I love the little corn dog bites.
Mm-hmm. I saw your photos of Galaxy's Edge today. So May the 4th be with you. Did you try the blue milk and the green milk?
We did the blue milk.
We did blue, yeah.
And we, of course, got it spiked because we're not dead. We got to live it up. we got some rum in there. And it was delicious. So if you ever get the blue milk, get it with rum. It was really good.
Nice.
And it's not. There's no lactose involved. It's like called milk. It's kind of that texture, but there's no milk involved.
Yeah.
That's
I love Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. It was really cool.
Have you guys done Rise of the Resistance yet?
Yeah.
That's my favorite Disney experience ever.
Ever.
It's incredible.
It's so cool.
We were there the week of the shutdown.
Yeah. Right before.
Mm-hmm.
Right before it all happened.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you guys got to ride it and got to hang out there.
I know.
What are your favorites? What do you guys always hit up?
Well, I mean, if we're going to stay at a resort, I mean, it depends on where we're at financially.
I think if I had like my wish every time, I would stay in a Savannah view at the Animal Kingdom. Yes. That would be like, we did that one time and it was like
one night.
It was the nicest thing. It was awesome. Like that would be the way I would want to do it all the time. We really like the Yacht Club. Staying at the Yacht Club. Have you seen? It's like, it's you can walk into Epcot. It's literally just,
it's very like, it's not too children heavy. Like it feels kind of adultish, and you can walk into
Epcot. You can walk into Epcot. So
and
it's
the pool's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we always, I mean, last time we were there for 3 days, we did both Universal Parks. We did all four Disney parks in 2 days.
Wow.
Yes.
We killed it.
And then we, and then, you know, they were, there was tons of hand sanitizer everywhere because of all of the madness of the world was about to happen or was happening. So our hands were like literally falling off because we were just like rubbing hand sanitizer all over. So
anyway, this is about
it. It works though.
I want to hear about you guys.
Yeah, we want to hear about you guys.
So we can talk about Disney for like an entire like episode.
Same.
So now that we're in quarantine, or you are in quarantine, what have you learned about each other that you didn't know before? Because you, it sounds like you guys spend a lot of time apart or like various schedules, right? So now you're together. What is one thing that you've learned about spending this much time with each other that you didn't know that may have surprised you?
Chris cannot cut hair. No,
not true. I did a good job.
No, he did a good job. He did a good job.
Well, I should say the final product was good. It may have taken me a couple tries, but we got it.
I only posted the one, but there were three different sessions to get where we are now. That's inside scoop.
Clay answered that, you know, that question with a joke. I'm trying to think of a real answer. I don't know. It's fun to see Clay explore different creative outlets and like to see where his mind goes when he has nothing but time. I think we as human beings, especially nowadays, we stay so distracted. That was hard to say. And we always have something going on and something on the schedule. And to have like nothing on the schedule, it's been interesting to see where Clay's brain goes artistically and what he wants to work on and focus on for the future. And that's been fun. I don't think I would have guessed some of those things.
Nice. Yeah.
I love that.
I never thought I wanted to choreograph, and kind of in this like, when is Broadway going to pick back up, or when are tours going to pick back up? I've been like, okay, what else brings me happiness? What else like would I want to do? And so I've been drawing a lot. I've been like choreographing for little like schools and studios, a little online classes. I've really enjoyed choreographing and like thinking about putting shows together, both create on the creative side and choreography side. Like, I mean, I say creative, but like directing and putting kind of like
concepts.
Yeah. The concepts of the set and stuff together. So I've done that just on my own, not with any, just going to do it in my house, I guess.
You're but, practicing.
Just yeah, get, you're practicing. Get some figurines you're and practicing. You could like, you know, create formations with Mickey Mouse and figurines.
A lot of Crayola markers, like in formations.
Yeah, make it all work.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So you talked about family planning. Are you guys thinking about having kids in the future?
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually watched your video online about, you know, finding your surrogate through social media and stuff. So we've been starting to look into that. The plan was like Hamilton, and then like hopefully Clay would be on Superstar for a while or move on to the next project, and we'd save some money and then either begin that process or look into, you know, start adopting. But clearly that's kind of all up in the air right now. But once life continues, that's definitely something we're excited about doing, and sooner rather than later. And like, I mean, I don't know, we're not getting any younger, so might as well start and have more time.
Yeah.
With our kids.
It's really tricky because we've had to postpone it. We had to postpone it once already last year because we moved back to New York from Charleston. Mm-hmm. And then we got Wicked, and we were like, yeah, I got Wicked. I was like, okay, we can move forward. And now this.
Sure.
But that was actually going to be one of my questions, was if you are planning to have a family, like, is this pandemic changing your mind about that? Or, you know, or is that, you know, it's still a goal, and obviously this will change and you'll still right?
We've wanted to do it. I don't think this has changed it. It's not that it's made it like more... it has not changed it. I'm like, no. we want kids. And I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, of course, with where we are in our lives right now, we don't own our apartment. We have a studio rental in New York City. So it's like, and it's crazy price. Just so like finding a financial, financially sustainable situation with bringing in children to the world or bringing them into our care definitely takes a lot of prep work and some savings. So we're excited to move forward as soon as we're able to.
That's very exciting.
Exciting.
We'll bring our kids to Disney World all together.
Yes. Oh, wait. Do you guys, have you ever Disney bound?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Usually like we're back at Disney.
Sorry.
It's usually Halloween because, like you said before, my birthday's on Halloween. So every birthday party as a kid was always like crazy Halloween themed, and we like went trick or treating. So now I'm like over dressing up, but he never dressed up as a kid, so now he always loves dressing up. So we like meet in the middle ground and do like a Disney bound when we go to Disney. So that's kind of like our way of dressing up and not dressing up at the same time.
Yeah, we love a Disney bound. It changes the whole experience, I think.
Yeah,
we've done Buzz and Woody.
That was probably my favorite, I
think. Yeah.
The Winnie the Pooh and Tigger.
We both were Mickey Mouse ones.
Yeah. It's been fun.
Yeah,
we love it.
Did you get the...
I have kind of a serious question that came up because you were talking, Chris, about growing up religious, and how has that affected your relationship, if at all, in your, you know, coming out? And I mean, this is the first person you really have been with as a gay man, and now this is the same person you're married to. Has there been a lot of like coming to terms with your religious background and accepting a new way of life? Or have you had to like, and especially with your family, has there ever been any complications with that and in your evolution as a relationship?
Clay's giving a big
head. Yes.
That's such a layered question. And there's so many different avenues I could go down to kind of go into this, but I will say, yes, there's been personal things I had to work out and work through. And one thing was, I thought at one point in my life, in my very limited view, that I would not be a man if I, you know, was with another man or felt romantic feelings for another man. I thought that I was would be unhappy and would be filled with shame and all these things that I was taught for my life up until that point. And to find out that none of those were true was a really big eye-opening thing for me, that I felt more like a man. I felt more happy, less shameful, being out in the open. It was such a gift, and it took me years and years to work through that. I came out at like 23 or 24, so it was a lot to work through personally. And the family, they're coming around. It's taken them a long time. Coming out was really hard and really did not go well, and it went exactly how I thought it would. My family has reacted how I thought they would, kind of nonstop through. I've kind of had them pegged. But a lot of things have progressed, and my parents and several of my siblings came to the wedding, and that was great. And those who didn't, I'm sad they missed out, and that's on them. And also, I had that pegged too. So, you know, sometimes you just, not that I don't know, I was hopeful that I'd be wrong, but you know, sometimes you know, people, you expect the best from them, and up to them to deliver, I guess.
Well, so what's the key to, you making the relationship work when there's this side of your family that, you know, because I know for me, I had a similar experience growing up in the South where, you know, it felt very important to have my family accept me. But then at some point you have to decide, do I want them to accept me or do I want to be happy? Right. And so what's the key to like coming to terms with yourself and letting go of that part of your identity, your family?
Well, I think initially seeing Clay's supportive family, like they are supportive through and through. They love him for who he is and they don't want him to change. They're so loving and so amazing in so many ways. So I saw that it was possible. So that was eye-opening and wonderful for me. And also for me to experience that support and love from them has been great. I think another thing that a friend, what we say a lot in the LGBTQ community is that, you know, your family is, your chosen family is your family. The people that check in on you, you know, that's your family. The people that love you no matter what, that's your family. And for a while, I really was resistant to that idea. But one day it just kind of clicked, I think maybe around the engagement, whenever my family was dealing with that the way they wanted to deal with it. And I was kind of just like, screw it. I love my family no matter what. And if they're going to love me, they're going to love me. If they're going to support me, they're going to support me. But I have a wonderful, amazing support system in my life. And we both do, Clay and I, as a unit do. And we're so lucky to have that, first of all. And second, we don't need someone to approve us just because we're related to them by blood. And just because my whole extended family is really close and have family reunions once or twice a year for weeks at a time. They're very, very close. And just because a lot of them don't approve of Clay's saying, no, that's not for him.
I'm doing all these things quietly so that this is for us.
Well, they're okay. But you know, my relationship looks different than theirs and people have the option to accept it. And when it came time to invite people to our wedding, my rule for my family was if they didn't say congratulations when we got engaged, they didn't get an invite. It was a very short list. Because my younger brother got engaged a week after us, and a week and a half after us, and those congratulatory messages all over social media were flooding in for him, and everyone was just silent on my end. So I was like, okay, well, I'm no worse off. I have the same support system I did before, and now we just kind of know who supports and who doesn't.
Well, where does just my last question around this topic, because I think it's good for people to hear, you know, that where is religion in your life now? Are you able to find, I mean, I'm sure there's a huge difference between spirituality and religion, of course, but have you found like a peace with that part of your growing up?
Sure. I think initially, yes. Right off, like, as I said, kind of like coming into my own, I was kind of more at peace with myself and, you know, my religion. I think through the Trump administration and through everything happening in the world right now, it's been really eye-opening to people that I once looked up to for their wisdom in with religion and Christianity, and I've lost a lot of faith in them and what they believe. I do believe in God, and I think I'm still figuring out the ins and outs of what that means in my life and our life. Because I just still consider myself a Christian, but it's just, I know that it's so far from the views of many that are very vocal with their views. I believe in inclusivity, and I don't believe in bigotry, and I do believe in science. And there are things that, you know, if I were to say I agree with this certain religion, I feel like that really, I'd have to be really, really specific with my points in there, because there's a lot of practices that I don't, you know, agree with these days.
We found a really awesome church, if you're ever looking to go to church in the city, called Middle Collegiate Church down by us in the East Village, and it's open and affirming, and that's been so helpful for us in the last few years, just to be able to have that, you know, just to go back to our faith and have that's that great in our lives. But I mean, but it's tricky because, you know, we have a conversation with my parents, we're like, we're going to church, and in their head that means we're going to this, and I'm like, no, they're actually like protesting, you know, Trump, you know, at the church.
I like that church already.
So it's interesting. Thank you for being so honest with that. I think super helpful. Okay.
Where are those little newlywed questions?
Oh, we have some newlywed questions for you guys.
Uh-oh. Okay.
You've probably already done some of these. Who knows? But we'll just try it. Okay. Okay, Chris.
Yes.
Do you remember what Clay was wearing on that first date? The question is first date, but maybe first day of rehearsal?
I don't remember what he was wearing specifically, but I do remember he looked really, really cute in these glasses that he did not wear in the audition, but he wore them at rehearsal, and they were big framed, bigger than he wears now, but they're like, what would you call it, a statement piece, if you will? They were really cute.
Yeah.
And I think men in glasses are so sexy, but he was just so adorable. And I remember his glasses really turned my head. I don't know if that passes. I don't know if that answers the works, but
I don't remember what I was wearing either. That's okay. Or what you were wearing. Is that the next question?
No, I'm waiting for Steven to read it.
Oh, sorry. Clay, who is Chris's embarrassing crush? Who does he have a crush on that is embarrassing? Like, who is his star?
Not embarrassing. Well, I know his crush is Tom Holland. Yes. I know that.
Yes,
I don't know if that's embarrassing, though. That's a celebrity crush, for sure. Embarrassing crush.
I don't even know if I have one, so I think that's the answer I would have thought, too. So.
He likes hot people, so, like, thank you. No.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay, Chris, who's the better kisser?
Of Clay or I? Oh, gosh. I mean, he's a pretty great kisser, so I mean, I think that has to be the answer. But I feel like our work as a team is pretty awesome.
That is the right answer. I would think that is the right answer.
For your sake, I hope it's teamwork.
No, absolutely.
Clay, what is his star sign? I mean, obviously you know that, right?
Like his star sign,
like
Capricorn.
Yeah.
I know you're a Sagittarius, but I don't know star signs. I don't know what that means.
That's the answer. Okay, great. Like, I was like, clearly you know
congratulations.
That.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You don't mind. Yeah. We always talk about mine because I'm a Scorpio and I have a stinger.
I'm a Scorpio too.
Yeah?
He'll get you.
Twins!
Yes. Everything's okay until it's not. And then you're like, I can't go back. Like, I'm sorry.
That's it. You tried.
Yes, I got that poison.
Chris, what is Clay's weirdest quirk?
Say one more time, you cut out.
What is Clay's weirdest quirk?
Weirdest quirk. Oh, he has a couple of them. Let me try to think of one. Weirdest quirk. I'm going to have to edit this for time because it's not the most riveting thing to listen to me think. Weirdest quirk. Okay,
careful now.
Okay, so every night when we go to sleep, Clay has this game he plays on his phone. That's like a Disney-themed castle-building game. And it's like a Tamagotchi. There's no end to it. There's no way to win the game. There's no success.
Magic Kingdoms.
Yeah.
We're going to play that.
And every night when we're ready to go to sleep, I'm like, okay, like set the alarm. We're ready to snuggle, whatever. And he's like, just 5 more minutes. And I was like, so now I have to say, can you play your Disney game? Like when I'm ready to go to sleep and I go brush my teeth and he plays it. So when I'm ready to go to sleep and go to sleep. So not like a personality like quirk, but more just like an annoying habit. But that's how I interpreted your question.
Okay.
That's fair. Okay. That's fair. That works.
Clay, who said I love you first?
I think I did.
I think you did too.
Yeah. I did. Ding, 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 I win.
Like over the pillow divide on the
Exactly.
Pillow wall have been knocked down by that point. We actually were afraid to say, after like, we said, I think I'm more than like you. And we were afraid to say love. So we said loke. We said loke for a while.
L-O-K-E.
Oh, that's cute.
Is that cute or is that weird? That's weird.
That's cute. When you're 23, then, that's cute.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Chris, who is the tidiest?
Gosh, we both kind of function at the same level of messiness. I would say me at times. We were both pretty messy, but then I get like fed up and I'm like, well, yesterday I was like, Clay, can you That's laundry.
That's all your laundry.
Okay.
I'm showing him the camera. Where is all my laundry from yesterday? When is that from? Yesterday. Where's all mine?
Well, Clay was folding laundry while I was...
Okay, it's only fair. That's Steven.
Okay. Yes, your laundry too.
It's all clean. It's just because... Anyways.
Same, that's clean.
I wish Clay was like infinitely more than more tidy than me, because I could really use some like encouragement in that department. Just like if things are kind of messy, I'm like, yeah, it's fine. But unless it's like a shared space, like if I ever had roommates or something, or if we ever have guests coming over, I turn into my mom. I'm like,
for sure.
The apartment is clean if guests are coming over.
So Clay, who is the better cook?
If either of us cooked, I mean, Chris cooks more, because I have the palate of a picky 4-year-old. I like only eat items that are on a kid's menu. It's so pathetic.
You call it the beige diet, so like chicken fingers, waffles, pancakes, French toast.
It's so sad.
Clay, I feel very bonded towards you after this. They're the same person.
So I mean, we both, for the meals that we'll both eat, we both cook the same amount, but he will cook more.
And I bake
for himself.
I do dessert.
Yeah, he bakes a lot too. So I'm gonna say him. All Chris cooks more.
Warming up macaroni and cheese is not kind of, you know, baking.
Listen,
or cooking. So
does it?
Yeah. Awesome. Those are great. Okay. Now we're going to move on to our segment that we call
Spotlight on Love.
So Taylor on Instagram shot us a DM and he said, I've been married to my husband 8 years, and this is the longest that we've spent time together. My husband is no longer traveling and he needs to get TF out of here.
Uh-oh.
How do we help Taylor?
Yeah. What would your suggestion be there?
Well, first, congratulations on 8 years. That's amazing. Especially
yes.
in gay years. That's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, does get TF out mean like he needs to get a hobby and like get his own, like, you know, his life so we can continue staying as a couple? Or does this mean like, I'm
well,
ready
maybe
to
that's
on?
A good suggestion. Maybe he needs to get a hobby. That's
yeah,
a good
I think
idea.
I mean, if anything COVID has taught us, it's that like sometimes we need to take a walk or like to get a little bit of time apart. You know, every person needs space from someone else at some point, you know. And as much as we love each other, there are days when I'm really cranky just because I don't have my own space and I'm used to having my own space. So I would say, yeah, try to find activities you guys can do separately so you guys have things to talk about, because that's always helpful. Even if you're reading a book and...
Or TV show that it's like your TV show that you can be like, ooh, this happened on this TV show.
Yeah, gives you things to talk about.
But then don't give anything away if they wanted to watch it, if it's not good. But maybe I'm not the best at giving advice.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Explore finding hobbies that you guys can talk about and compare notes. And
And if they like working out or like going on walks, I run. I love running. And just like running outside. Especially now that the weather's getting nice, run mm-hmm. if you want to, or walk, listen to a podcast, mm-hmm. this one perhaps. find music that you like. I have my running playlist. It's Broadway or Disney music. The occasional Beyonce is tossed in there, but go run, get some, that like, one, it gets your like endorphins going. Two, it gives like gets rid of energy because you're running. I mean, I'm like, mile 13, you want to die, but other than that,
not everyone has to run that.
Are you still getting miles in like that?
No, not like that. No, I need to get more cardio in.
Me too.
Now that weather's getting nicer, I'll run more, but
yeah,
those are great suggestions.
After the marathon training, just like running 30 miles a week, you're like, I don't want to do that for a second.
No.
So maybe, Taylor, don't run 30 miles your first time out. But
yeah. No, Taylor's not the one that needs to run. His boyfriend or his husband needs to run.
Maybe they both do. Maybe Taylor has to take responsibility for their part of the relationship too.
Run the opposite direction. Oh!
Snap.
Don't worry, you know.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I think that the thing... the things that have been working for us or for me in this moment is, you know, scheduling times where we don't do the same things. Like, this is a good thing. When Brett gets up at 7 a.m., like, I don't have to get up at 7 a.m. I get up at 8 and I do my own morning routine. And, you know, and under normal circumstances, I usually feel guilty that I sleep in. I mean, it's not even sleeping in, right? But to Brett, he's like, you're sleeping in. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm actually getting enough sleep and I wake up and I am productive. But anyways, so I think that, like, scheduling, you know, creating your own schedule. And I think that it's taken us a while. I mean, this is now the eighth week of this, but it's taken us a while to be comfortable around each other doing different things throughout the day. Yeah. But, like, being comfortable with that, right?
I think also, like, what was really cool that, like, we went somewhere, like, going somewhere else. Like, I mean, it's not everyone can do that, yeah, especially if you're, like, in a city. But, like, we went to his parents have, like, this house out an hour out in the woods. And, like, we went somewhere else. It just, a change of scenery kind of helped us get a little bit of perspective too, you know. But I think running can do the same thing. And
yeah, going to another room, maybe spending more time in the bathroom.
That's our only option right now. We are in a studio. So
it's right. Spending more time in the bathroom.
Yeah.
But, like, if there's a Target here. Like, we go to Target.
We go to Target a lot.
We wear masks and we just walk around.
Yes. That's awesome. Oh, I would love a Target run.
A lot of times we don't really buy that many things, but we just kind of walk around and, like, look at all of the different items.
That
we're like,
that's good self-control. Because when I go in Target, I'm like, well, I need that. I'm like,
Yeah.
$400 later, you're like, will I ever use any of this? Well, likely not.
No.
I don't want to stop talking. I just love talking to you guys. You guys are awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
So where can people find you on social media if they don't already follow you? It's Chris Rice NY.
Correct. Yeah. TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. TikTok's my newest one. I'm exploring that.
Oh.
It's fun.
We're obsessed. Are TikTok obsessed. It's
I haven't jumped on the bandwagon. I don't think I'm cool enough for it. Everybody I see is doing, like, fierce dances. I'm like, I don't have the time to, like, teach myself or, like, have all the time, but, like,
time.
You should put some of the dances that you've created on there and then people can
dance your choreography instead of In Sync on May 1st. It's going to be me. We did that.
Is there, like, a Star Wars choreo?
Well, today's
probably.
Today's
the day to do it. Today is your day. Do it.
You're welcome.
That's it.
And Clay's username is Clay Rice Thompson. He changed his username.
I love that.
Yeah. That's our married name is Rice Thompson.
We didn't hyphenate.
Nope.
Maybe we will when we have a kid, but we haven't done that yet.
That was kind of the motivation for the reasoning behind it, you know.
I love that.
It's the family name.
Yeah. Well, we're so happy. Congratulations on your wedding.
Yeah, congratulations. Yes.
Congratulations on your tours.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And travel safe wherever you end up on your journeys back to the States.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And we'll talk to you soon. Yeah. And everyone listening, don't forget to love who you love.
And love what you do.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.